Good morning.
Good morning.
And in this last Sunday of Easter, I have to say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And so we give thanks to God, and in celebration and praise, we come together in His house. A few announcements to make. Most of them are in the bulletin. But one new one is that there will be a brief council meeting after the service this morning. Also, call your attention to the fact that next Sunday, May 24th, the worship service will be taking place out at the cemetery at 10 a.m. And you might want to bring a blanket, according to the note, because who knows? One day it's hot, the next day it's cold. I can't tell you what it's going to be next Sunday. Also, Lutheran Witness, it's time to be signing up if you want to renew your subscription and haven't already signed up. Or if you no longer wish to receive it, or change of address, or for any other reason, make sure that gets noted. I think all of the other announcements are in the bulletin. So let's begin our worship as we join in singing hymn 493, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing.
Hymn of glory, let us sing. New hymns throughout the world shall ring. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ by a road before untrod ascends unto the throne of God. Joy on earth, O Lord. endless ages run, with Father and with Spirit one. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the
iniquity
of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 68. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered.
And those who hate him shall flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away.
As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God.
But the righteous shall be glad.
They shall exalt before God. They shall be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name.
Lift up songs to him who rides through the deserts.
His name is the Lord.
Exalt before him.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows.
His God in his holy habitation.
God settles the solitary in a home. O God, when you went out before your people,
when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the mountains poured down rain.
Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel.
Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad.
You restored your inheritance as it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it. You provided for the needy.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Glory be to God on high.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
special note of thanks to the members of the choir for sharing your musical gifts with us. The first reading for this, the seventh Sunday of Easter, is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called, in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus, please rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to you.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together now and profess our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. This is the portion of the service set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Well, how are you today? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it, and I'm sure glad to see you here today. Today, let's see, I brought along something. I want to talk about choices. Do you ever have to make choices?
Yes.
What'd you have for breakfast today?
Cereal.
What kind?
Kix.
Kix. Did you pick it out, or did somebody say, this is what you're having?
I did.
You picked it out. You made a choice. And sometimes we have to choose. How did you know what to wear today?
You picked it out?
You look through your clothes and you make a choice. You just grab something. Well, you know what? That's still making a choice.
Okay,
you look behind you, say, all right, well, this seems like a good thing to wear. You know, we go through, like when you go to a restaurant and they have this whole menu and you have to pick out what you want to eat.
There's another hard part, moving.
Moving.
Okay,
that's a choice, but you moved, right?
Yeah, we had to.
You had to move.
I don't want to move.
But you got a whole new house, don't you?
Yeah.
But now when you come into your room, you're going to have to decide, how do you want to fix it up? Where do you want to put this or that or the other things? You want to put everything everywhere. Well, you know what? That's a choice, too. And I'm going to talk about this in the sermon today, too, because we're going to talk about choices. And some choices are more important than others. You know, like if you have Kix for breakfast, or if you have cornflakes, or sugar frosted flakes, or whatever else. Maybe you've got a bacon and egg crowd here, too. And you like to have those for breakfast.
That's what our parents did.
So, but see, we have all of these choices. And some of the choices, well, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference what you pick. But some choices are very important. And I've got one verse here, which is from today's gospel lesson. And this is also the text for today's sermon. It says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We have to pick. Pick a number between 1 and 100.
1,000.
1,000? 99. Well,
96.
And you might pick this one. Here's a tough one. How many of you picked this one? 7.96541.
Yeah.
Well, that's a number.
Okay.
How about a number between 20 and 30?
6.55555.
How about 25.32? Okay. How about one between 80 and 90? 8.365, you're catching on. There might be a catch to these. Yeah, how about 81.88? How about a number between 90 and 100?
92.36.
Close. It's 92.45.
Ooh.
Whoa. How about one between 20 and 30? 23.7. Whoa, close, but not right. How about one between 40 and 50?
I think 44.66.
How about 41.395? Whoa, have fun. Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll do one more. How about one between 1 and 10?
9.36.
How about just 6?
I knew it.
Yeah.
What?
How many did you get right?
Zero.
Zero. You see, some choices that we make
are
really difficult. And we don't always, and obviously we don't always get them right. But there is, but you know how many choices there are? If we want to be saved, if we want to go to be forgiven and go one day go to heaven to be with Jesus, you know how many choices there are?
100. About.
Nope, actually only
one.
There's only one choice. All of the others
are gone.
All the others are wrong. That's why the verse that I started with, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so the only way for us to be forgiven, the only way for us to one day go to heaven is through by believing in Jesus. Because he is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. I guess I have a few things, something for you to pick from. Did any of you guess right on the cards? Probably not. I made them particularly hard on purpose.
Crowned him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the virgin son, the God incarnate born, whose arm those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn. Fruit of the mystic rose, yet of that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Crown him, Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bend their wondering eyes at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worship. him far, and he kings with many crowns, for he is King of
grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text is one verse from the gospel. You've already heard it. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is our text. Our life is filled with choices. I mean, you don't believe me? Just go to Walmart and meander down the cereal aisle or the bread aisle. Fact is, many people in this world have only one choice. Do you want bread or not? Do you want this cereal or not? I mean, that same abundance of choices, it can also be witnessed in the world of medicine. If you have an ache or a pain, there are any number of options to choose from. Again, if you don't believe me, meander down the aisle of Walgreens or Walmart. Yeah, that's right, you got a whole aisle filled with different options to treat a cough or a headache. I mean, of course, we also know that there are limitations to medicinal options, aren't there? Your choices and your options drastically shrink the rarer and the more serious the condition that you have. Then you have to listen to those ones that are advertising on television. If you have this, then you need to then say you want this pill. I mean, the fact is you can't just wander into a Walgreens and you don't have your pick of 40 types of chemotherapy or radiation, do you? No. When it comes down to a heart transplant, you don't get a menu and then decide whose heart you'll graciously receive. No, it comes down to very basic, get the transplant or die. Get the chemo treatments or die. And we don't get too picky when the options are so few and so serious, do we? But have you ever noticed how this very same American notion of freedom of choice has also trespassed into matters of faith and salvation? How often do we treat matters of faith and salvation like a trip down the cereal aisle? I mean, we choose one church out of many simply because their commercial caught our eye. The advertising swayed us. The building was pretty. Whenever I hear some of the crazy reasons why people choose a church, well, I like the kitchen facilities, or they have stadium seating, or they have a surround sound theater experience. They have a coffee bar. And I have to shake my head. And inwardly, I hear the words often attributed to the late P.T. Barnum, "There's one born every minute." Brings us to an interesting question, doesn't it? Is there really a choice to be made when it comes to remedying that sinful, deadly condition that infects us? Well, I guess might depend on how serious you consider sin to be. I mean, for some, sin is nothing more than an abstract concept, a bad decision, a poor choice. And the options available with that understanding of sin are wide and varied. The easiest, well, I can simply choose to do better, or choose to do good, or maybe even choose to not even acknowledge that sin is real. And others will acknowledge that sin is serious. and it's a sickness that plagues us. But yet, they still see it as something like a cold. I mean, overall, you're generally happy and healthy. But as your spiritual immunity weakens, you make mistakes, and you end up catching or stumbling into sin. And here's where the abundance of those over-the-counter remedies and self-medicating practices make themselves known. I mean, if you have a particular sinful ache or ailment, somebody out there, sure, I'm guessing, has a surefire elixir that'll numb your pain and cure what you think is ailing you. I mean, just shop around. You'll find something that suits you, suits your schedule, suits your taste better, and your budget. But I need to tell you something. All of those sinful, cold-like aches, pains, and coughs in life, when they're left unchecked, they have the possibility of turning into something deadly. I mean, think about it. What does Scripture tell us about sin? It may come as a surprise to you that God's view of sin and man's view of sin don't match up. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans that sin entered into the entire world through one man, Adam, and death entered with it. And we're also taught that the wages of sin is death, and all people have sinned, that all people fall short of the glory of God, meaning that all people are sinners and are dead before God. Understand, I'm not just talking about physical death, although that's the most recognizable portion of the wage of sin. But the wages of sin is a complete and eternal death. It's a complete absence of life from our Lord and the source of eternal life, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you again, does Scripture make sin sound like one of those conditions that there's a whole lot of options available for the cure? Or does it sound more like it's this or death? Consider what Jesus says himself in our gospel lesson for this morning. This is eternal life, that they, believers, know you, the Father, as the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice what Christ doesn't say. He doesn't say that the Father and the Son are one of many options or choices that are available to receiving eternal life. Jesus doesn't treat his gift of eternal life like one, just like one of many products sitting on the shelves at Walmart. He doesn't even say that the Father and the Son are the best option in matters pertaining to eternal life and salvation. As if God is like a certain medicine that only requires you to take one dosage instead of multiple dosages that you'd have to take with the other brands. Nope. Christ is neither one option among many, nor is he the best option among many. He is the one and the only option. He says himself that eternal life consists of this, and this alone, knowing and trusting in the Father and the one whom the Father has sent, Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty exclusive, doesn't it? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the cure for sin is only remedied in the blood of Christ, the blood which he has already poured out from his cross for all of us. There's not even a choice to be made. Jesus Christ chose to save you by dying on his cross for you. And sadly, many people will never hear or know the cure for what truly ails them. simply because they're never going to hear just how deadly their sin really is and how Christ alone is the sole remedy and source of life and salvation. I know that you have many choices nowadays. I mean, even within the Lutheran Church, when it comes to where and how you worship God. Some are good, only different. Some are not good. They're placebos. They're snake oil. They're akin to drugs, giving you a short high, but offering you nothing in terms of sustenance, healing, or life. You have many choices in terms of worship, but you don't have a choice when it comes to how you are saved from the death of sin. Jesus is the one and only cure. It's His word and His alone that saves and gives life to the person who's dead in their sin. And His word must be heard. Keep in mind, no one ever said that making Christ known to the world was going to be an easy or rewarding job. As I've often said, life will be tough when you're faithful in proclaiming the truth to a world that doesn't even acknowledge anything other than different personal opinions and menu choices. But take heart, because as we see in this morning's lesson, Jesus is praying and He is interceding for us, that we would be strengthened in our faith and our courage to make His word known to the world. Because it's in His word that's being proclaimed. It's His word that's bringing life to people this very day throughout the world. He's speaking through the likes of ordinary people, like pastors and Sunday school teachers, like each and every one of you. My fellow baptized and redeemed children of God, God has given you His gift, given you His life-saving word in your baptisms, the completely free and unmerited gift of eternal life in Christ. And I pray that He'll give you the strength and the courage to speak and to share that life-giving cure of Christ with a world that is truly dead, not just sick, not just ailing, but truly dead in its sin. May God grant you His blessings. May He keep you safe as we reflect on our baptism, on the fact that He put His name on us, the fact that He knows each and every one of us by name, that we can be united with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray as we come to the Lord's altar that His body and blood might strengthen us in our faith, that His forgiveness would be upon us, that we might be strengthened, that we could live for Him. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, receive these offerings which we bring this day in thanksgiving and praise, Lord, for all of the blessings you shower on us. Lord, we pray that they might be useful for the work of your church, for the proclamation of your word. And we pray your blessing on that word, O Lord, that your Spirit would work in the hearts and the lives of all who hear it. Praying, Lord, that one day you would bring all people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you resist the proud and you give grace to the humble. Grant us true humility after the likeness of your Son, that we would never be arrogant or prideful and thus provoke your wrath, but in all lowliness be made partakers of your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you have provided pastors to preach your word, administer your sacraments, and shepherd your people. Guard them from leading your sheep astray. Grant that through their preaching, your people may be pierced by the law and saved by the gospel. Finally, shield them from the assaults of the devil, who would silence your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you settle the solitary in families in order to nurture their faith and train them in righteousness. Bless and strengthen parents to bring up their children to resist temptation and to endure all things for the sake of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, Father of all, rule for the cause of the needy and the outcast. Set the world's rulers against oppressors and all evil, that we may live together in peace, joy, and holiness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, have mercy on the sick and those in any need. Especially, O Lord, we raise up in our hearts and prayers Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Todd, Karen and Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Norma, Ron and Vicky, Kyle and Renee, Michelle and Diana, Jordan and Ray, Linda and Keith, Ralph and Chelsea, Soli, and all of the others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accordance with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, in joy and thanksgiving, we also raise up in our prayers this day Randy and Julie Miller. As they celebrate their anniversary this week, Lord, we pray that you would be an ever-present part of their home, that, Lord, you would strengthen them in love toward each other and in love toward you. Gracious Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Almighty God, your Son is both host and meal in the sacrament of the altar. Give us faith to recognize his body and blood and to receive with grateful faith this blessed food in Holy Communion. Guide us to live faithfully here on earth until we live forever with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, thanks be to you for victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all who mourn. Comfort them with the promise that you love them with an everlasting love, and that Christ will raise his people from the dead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary continually afflicts us, and as a roaring lion walks about, seeking to devour us, we implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
His feet and hands so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome. table of the Lord. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
He endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We join in singing the closing hymn, 924, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessing, fill our hearts with joy and peace. Possessing, triumphing, redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, trembling.
May